Ever think about like how a totally normal thing you'd find around the house, could end up like totally changing the law?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We're going deep on that today. On
Absolutely.
the deep dive, we're looking at McCormack versus Hankscraft.
McCormack versus Hankscraft.
A case that really brought up a bunch of legal arguments, a whole bunch, and it still to this day shapes how consumers are protected,
It's not just a name to remember for like an exam or something.
Right.
It's fundamental to how we think about products liability today.
For sure.
We're going to break down what happened, dig into the strategies around like negligence and warranties, and unpack how strict liability, came to be in Minnesota because of this case.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got a ton of material to work with for this deep dive.
Awesome.
Excerpts from our internal pasted text, including, some of our guidance for the show.
Yeah.
We're always trying to make it better, of course.
Of course. Always iterating.
Always iterating, exactly.
Yeah.
We've also got a detailed brief, a standard brief, and even a perplexity analysis of McCormack v. Hankscraft,
Wow. Yeah.
all to help us really understand the impact of this case on consumer safety, how it's protected people.
Yeah.
So let's get into it. What was the thing that kicked off this whole legal battle? What happened with that Hankscraft vaporizer?
So this case, it really comes from a very sad situation back in 1960.
Okay.
Mrs. McCormack, she bought one of these Hankscraft steam vaporizers, for her kids.
Makes sense.
And the thing is, the way they marketed it was like super reassuring. They were saying it was safe and practically foolproof.
As a parent, I mean that's what you want to hear, right?
Totally.
A peace of mind, especially when it comes to your kid.
Exactly. And it wasn't just like what they said, They even showed the vaporizer right next to a baby's crib in the instructions.
Oh, wow.
So, that makes you feel even safer about it. But there's a big problem here, They left out some really important information.
What was missing? Like, what should they have said?
Okay, so the instructions, they didn't say anything about how hot the water inside gets.
Oh, that's not good.
It gets close to boiling, like 211 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh my gosh.
And they never mentioned that if the thing tips over, it could cause some serious burns.
So they're saying it's safe, but it's actually super dangerous.
Yeah, basically, they were hiding this big risk. And unfortunately, it ended up really hurting the McCormack family.
This sounds bad.
One night, Mrs. McCormack, she put the vaporizer on a stool right next to her little girl's bed. Her daughter Andrea, she was only 3 years old. And then, something happened that no parent wants to even think about.
Oh no.
Andrea, she got up and she accidentally knocked the vaporizer over.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
All that scalding hot water spilled out, and Andrea, she got horrible burns, third-degree burns, over 30% of her
Well,
body.
it's just awful.
It's a truly terrible example of what can happen when safety is ignored.
So obviously they sued,
Right.
right? I mean, did this actually go to court though, with a jury and everything?
Oh, yeah, it went to trial. The jury was totally on the McCormack's side. It's hard not to be sympathetic after hearing what happened.
Yeah.
They awarded the McCormacks $150,000.
That's a lot of money, especially back
It
then.
was, but it wasn't the end of the story. The trial court judge, he actually issued what's called a JNOV.
JNOV. For
Okay.
those listening who might not know, what is that?
JNOV stands for Judgment Notwithstanding the Verdict. It's basically when the judge decides to overrule what the jury decided.
So the judge was like, nope, I'm siding with Hankscraft, even though the jury sided with the McCormacks.
Exactly.
Why would the judge do that? And then what made the Minnesota Supreme Court change things back? They reversed that decision, right? They sided with the jury in the end.
They did.
Seems like that's where all the big legal stuff comes in.
Exactly. To really get why they reversed it, we've got to look at the legal arguments they used. It all starts with negligence, which is, a huge part of product liability.
So negligence, when it comes to making and selling products,
Right.
what does that mean?
So it basically means that companies, when they're making things, they have this duty of care. They got to design stuff in a way that's reasonably safe,
Yeah.
and they got to warn people about any risks, anything that could happen when you use it the way it's supposed to be used.
Carol.
And this duty of care, it gets even bigger when you're talking about products for kids, people who are more vulnerable.
Makes sense. They need more
Yeah.
protection. So in McCormack, what made people think that Hankscraft might have messed up, that they were negligent?
There were a few things that pointed to that.
Like what?
The way the vaporizer was designed, for one, it didn't have any kind of lock to keep the heating part in place.
So it could tip over easily.
Exactly. That's a recipe for disaster. But the biggest thing, the thing that really stood out, was that they didn't warn anybody about the danger.
Even though they knew it was going to be used around kids.
Right. They didn't say anything about the water being hot enough to scald or that it could easily tip over.
It seems like a pretty obvious thing to warn about.
You'd think so. But they dropped the ball on that one.
But hold on.
Yeah.
Mrs. McCormack, she put the vaporizer on a stool. Didn't Hank Scraft say that was her fault, that she contributed to the accident?
Oh, they definitely tried that. But the Minnesota Supreme Court, they shut that down pretty quick. They said that, look, when you have kids, you gotta expect that they might mess with stuff.
Yeah.
Knocking things over, that's just part of having little kids around.
Especially a three-year-old.
Exactly. So Hank Scraft, they should have known that could happen, even if the vaporizer was on a stool. That's why they should design it better and give in clear warnings. They can't just assume that everyone's gonna use it perfectly. You know, especially with kids involved, it's their job to make it safe no matter what.
So basically, they can't blame the parents for something that's predictable when you have kids.
Right. They have to anticipate those kinds of things and design accordingly.
That makes sense. So negligence, that was a strong argument for the McCormicks. But they also went after Hanes Craft for breach of express warranty, right?
Yeah.
What's that all about?
So an express warranty, it's like a promise.
Okay.
When a company sells you something, they might say specific things about it, like how good it is or how it works. That becomes part of the deal.
Okay.
And people rely on that, you know, when they buy something.
Right. Like, I trust that what they're saying is true.
Exactly. But it's got to be different from just like hype, you know? Like those exaggerated claims, you know, opinions. We call that puffery.
Puffery. Got it. So like saying this car is the best is just puffery.
Yeah, that's just like an opinion. But if they say this car has anti-lock brakes and gets 30 miles per gallon, those are things you can measure, you know, facts.
Okay, I get it. So in McCormick, what did Hank Scraft say that the McCormicks were like, hey, that's not just hype, that's a promise, and you broke it?
It was those two phrases they kept using, safe.
Yeah.
And practically foolproof.
Right.
The McCormacks, they argued those weren't just vague, you know, salesy words. They were saying something concrete about how safe that vaporizer was, especially for kids.
Yeah.
And the Minnesota Supreme Court, they agreed. They said Mrs. McCormack had every right to believe those promises when she bought it.
So she relied on them making a safe product.
Exactly. But the thing is, the vaporizer, it was anything but safe.
With the boiling water and the tipping hazard.
Right. That completely contradicted their promises. And the Minnesota Supreme Court was pretty clear about where they stood on this.
Oh, so?
They basically said that if there's any doubt about what a warranty means, they're going to side with the person who bought the product.
Oh, wow. So they're really looking out for the consumer.
Absolutely.
So we've got negligence. We've got breach of express warranty. But McCormack v. Hankscraft is famous for another big legal thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
This is where strict liability comes into play in Minnesota.
Big time.
That sounds like a major change. What's strict liability mean in this case?
It was a huge shift. Strict liability means that a company that makes a product can be held responsible for injuries, even if they weren't careless in making it.
So you don't have to prove that they did something wrong.
Right. You don't have to prove negligence. It's about the product itself, not how careful the company was.
So instead of trying to show that Hank Scraft messed up when they made the vaporizer, like a negligence claim with strict liability, it's more about, was the vaporizer defective? Right. And did that defect cause Andrea's injuries?
Exactly. Strict liability hinges on whether the product was defective and unreasonably dangerous when it was sold. It's like saying, hey, the product was messed up and that caused harm, so the company's responsible.
So it doesn't matter if they were being careful or not.
Right. It's a totally different way of looking at things. It recognizes that with mass production, you know, we can't always check every single product for problems, and this protects people from those hidden dangers.
It's like the law is saying the company making the product is in the best position to make sure it's safe. They're the ones who should deal with the cost if someone gets hurt because of their product. But does this mean anytime anyone gets hurt using their product, the company's automatically at fault?
No. No, it's not that simple. Strict liability doesn't mean absolute liability.
Okay.
There are still defenses companies can use.
Like what?
Like if someone modifies the product after they buy it, or if they use it in a way that wasn't intended, that could change things.
That makes sense.
But the main thing is the focus shifts. It's not about proving the company was careless. It's about showing that the product itself was defective and dangerous.
So McCormack v. Hankscraft, it gave people in Minnesota this, like, triple threat of legal options when it came to products that caused them harm. They could sue for negligence, breach of warranty, and now strict liability. That's a big deal for consumers, right?
Oh, for sure.
And it goes beyond those three legal options, too.
It does.
This case, it really changed the whole idea of privity of contract, especially in cases where someone gets hurt.
That's right.
Privity of contract. That's like the idea that only the people involved in a contract can sue over it.
Right, yeah. So in the past, you buy a product from a store, and it's defective. You'd have a hard time suing the company that made it, even if they were the ones who gave the warranty.
Because you didn't buy it directly from them.
Exactly. Your contract was with the store, not the manufacturer. But McCormack, it's started to break down that barrier, especially in cases where someone gets hurt because of a bad product.
So because of this case, Mrs. McCormack could sue Hankscraft directly because of their safe and foolproof claims, even though she bought the vaporizer from a store.
Exactly. That's a win for consumer rights.
Absolutely. But there's more, right? It's not just about those specific legal arguments or even changing privity.
Right.
McCormack v. Hankscraft gave us a way to think about product defects in general.
It did. It broadened the scope, for sure.
It's not just about how a product is physically made or how it's put together.
It's bigger than that.
It's also about the warnings, whether they're clear enough, and whether the marketing is truthful.
All of that comes into play.
So companies, they can't just focus on making a product.
Right.
They have to think about how it's going to be used in the real world and be honest about what it can and can't do. And those principles from McCormack, they're still relevant today, right? Even with all the new technology and products we have now.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not like it's outdated or anything.
Not at all. Think about it. We have issues with cars, medical devices, even cleaning products, you know, all sorts of stuff where those principles from McCormack still apply.
The duty to design safely, warn about risks, and stand behind your claims, that's all still crucial.
It's the foundation of how we keep consumers safe in the marketplace. It's about accountability.
So for everyone listening who's studying law, McCormack v. Hankscraft, it's a must-know case. You got to understand how negligence, breach of warranty, and strict liability all work together. And pay close attention to what companies say about their products and how this case shifted the power towards consumers.
It's a game changer.
This isn't just about a vaporizer that caused a terrible accident.
It's bigger than that.
It reshaped how the law protects people from dangerous products.
It did. And for all you future lawyers out there, think about how the ideas from this case are still changing and growing in our world, you know, with all the new products and technologies. What are the challenges we're facing now? What are the ethical questions? Those are the things you need to be thinking about as you start your careers.
It's like McCormack v. Hankscraft. It gave us a map, you know, a map for navigating product safety.
Yeah.
But we're still exploring new territory all the time.
Exactly.
And it's up to you, you know, the next generation of legal minds to help us chart that course.
Absolutely.
That's all for the deep dive today. Catch you next time.
See you then.